into order. Could I get a roll call of the members, please?
Sure. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Secretary Harris?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Ms. Nishu Dugas?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Okay, we have 9 board members present, and a quorum has been established.
Great, thank you. Now, would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the republic which stands in the nation under God, indivisible.
All right, great. Right. Item 4 is the approval of the September 13th, 2017 minutes.
I make a motion to approve those minutes.
I have a motion by Mr. Arnold to approve those minutes, a second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 5 is the staff reports, the lease review report presented by Jason Talbot and Charles Bradbury.
Chairman, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review report today. I really don't have much to report today other than currently we have 1,255 active leases covering nearly 544,000 acres. G&E staff did review some 99 leases covering approximately 52,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. But I do not have any leases discussed in more detail today.
No leases to review for the report?
None to report. We reviewed leases, but none to report to the board.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Our next item is the nomination and track report by Mr. Emil Fano.
Good morning. There were no nominations received or tracts to advertise in the official journal of the state or in the parishes for the October 11, 2017 mineral lease sale. For the October 12, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 2 nominations for advertisement. 8 nominations were received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the December 13, 2017 mineral lease sale. And for the December 14, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 34 nominations for advertisement. We're asking that authority be given to staff to advertise the 8 nominations for the December 13, 2017 mineral lease sale.
Great, thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the staff's request for authority to advertise those 8 nominations?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Michaud Duga. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
That completes the items for nomination and track.
Great, thank you. Next up is the audit report by Ms. Rachel Newman.
Good morning. There were no field audit collections as of September 30th of 2017. There were also no audits closed and no audits engaged. We currently have 69 open audits. Royalties collected in September 17 totaled $15,188,151. Fiscal year to date, that total is $44,625,051. Last year at this time, the total was $56,290,049. Monthly reports submitted in September totaled 329. This included 121 for oil, 162 for gas, and 46 for plant products. The only item on my agenda is the staff report to the board that the election for October 17 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Great. Thank you. Any questions on No reports? Great. I hope this isn't a protest with all these nothings. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Our next item is the legal entitled controversy review. Mr. Emil Fontenot.
Item number one is a request by Energy 21 to the State Mineral and Energy Board to reduce the liquidated damage assessment of $17,200 to $10,000 for failure to file a timely release of former state lease number 14031, to reduce the assessment from $17,200 to $3,700 each for failure to file a timely release of former state lease number 18737 and former state lease number 18738. A release of state lease number 14031, state lease number 18737, and state lease number 18738 should have been filed on or before October the 29th, 2016. These releases were filed of record on April the 20th, 2017, 172 days late. The lease contract required Energy 21 to execute and record an appropriate release timely or pay $100 per day for each day of non-compliance after October the 29th, 2016. I ask that you refer to the worksheets in your binders for staff analysis of the waiver protocol, as well as a letter from Energy 21 dated August the 15th, 2017, that explains their reasons for requesting a reduction of damages. We notified Energy 21 last month that this would be on the September agenda report, and because of the flooding, they asked that we move it to the October lease sale, and there was no subsequent notification to them, but they were aware that this was moved to the October lease sale.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Hyde? Could you inquire as to whether or not there's anyone from that company here to give us an explanation?
Yeah. Is there anyone from here?
I see no one in the audience. We can ask, is there anyone representing Energy 21 in the audience?
So what's the staff's recommendation?
Well, I'd like it to be part of the record that we made this inquiry and that there right. was no one present from the company on that inquiry.
Right.
I'd like to ask another question if I
may. Yes, go ahead.
I'm looking at one of the sheets in our packet which indicates that lease 14031, 18737, and 18738, all three of those was owed $17,200 times three, that's $51,600. Is that what the penalty would be?
The total for the three leases that were released late, the total would be the $51,000.
And they're asking that for that, rather than pay the $51,600, they're asking to pay what? Have it reduced to what?
I guess it's $10,000 and $3,700 twice would be $17,400.
How much? I'm sorry.
It was $10,000 and $37 twice would be $74, so $17,400.
The proper time, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay. Mr. Hyde, make your motion.
I make a motion that we do not waive any of the penalty.
I'd like to second that motion, but also have some discussion as well.
We have a motion by Mr. Hike and a second by Mr. Arnold.
I have a few more questions.
Yeah, we have some questions.
Just trying to wrap my head around this.
I'm sorry.
So these infractions represent infractions number 7, 8th, and 9th.
Yes, sir, they do.
For late release.
Yes,
sir. 21.
Yes, sir.
I understand that they felt that it was the duty of the staff to notify them of the late release, that they were late, correct?
I can only say their letter kind of implies that they felt like the reduction should have been reduced as a result of our notification to them.
So their opinion is that the clock started when we notified them?
That is what we're gathering from the letter.
Although, in previous times, we
didn't the information say that they seem to have overlooked it because of some reason?
The letters, their explanation was that it was a complex situation in the field. There were different wells and pipelines going to gathering points, and there was a mistake in their computing as well as their showing what was and wasn't being produced. As I recall, the points in the letter, and as a result, they felt like after researching it, they thought that there should be a reduction to the time that we notified them.
And isn't Energy 21, at least the main entity, in bankruptcy?
No, sir. They're out of bankruptcy and have changed the people within the company out.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got another question, if you don't.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was finished.
You're not all right, Mr. Hondo.
Sir.
Tell me, why is it that we do not have a staff recommendation on this? Because in all other reductions, requests, the staff has given us a recommendation.
Most of the recommendations that we've given you in the past dealt with late registration. It was clear cut. That was what I recall coming to you with most instances. This is a different, it's a little more complex because it takes into consideration how valid is their request. And here I am, I'm representing Energy 21. I'm just trying to go by the letter, and that's the one of the reasons why we don't feel like we should be making a recommendation, because they should be here and explaining to you. But when you get into the complex situation of they're working in the field, and for us to tell you that, well, we don't believe that, that's a reasoning and a decision we feel that should really come from you, and I guess that's probably the reason why we weren't so adamant.
You're kind of taking somewhat of a position, though, in your last set of facts, where you're saying that by giving them the reduction would kind of set a precedence that you're not really liable till we notify you.
That's correct.
Your clock doesn't start ticking.
That is right. And the previous infractions that we came to you with, it wasn't this type of situation. It was a late registration fee. It had nothing to do with working in the fields. And how accurate and how certain am I that that's what they did? I mean, it could be legitimate, but that's just a tough call for me to make.
Yeah, one of the this is Board Handling. One of the reasons that we didn't make a decision is that they did say they had issues within the field. We did not have any documentation on those issues, so we felt at this point that to give you the facts and let you decide based on the waivers.
Another question. When they make the monthly royalty payments, they put down which leases those payments go towards, correct?
Yes.
If it's
identified.
If there's no payment going towards these leases, there's no production.
Well, the royalty's tied to loot code, or so it could be a number of wells over different parts of the leases. So that's a little misconception there.
Okay.
And there were some confusing facts in their letter that gave us a heartburn as to, you know, if they were attributing it to this particular thing in mistake, then, you know, we just couldn't make that decision.
Right. Well, I think we were ready to make a decision for you, because I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily. You haven't convinced me, which is not, you know, sometimes I'm difficult to deal with, I guess. But that's just the nature of the beast that I am. But in the same instance, it seems to me that the staff should take a position. Because it's certainly clear cut that this company has really taken advantage of our state more than once, and to ask for that type of reduction, they're lucky they weren't dealing with me, that's for sure. Because, I mean, I just think it's just egregious. And specifically the fact that they're not here. I mean, this company is taking natural resources from our state which cannot be replenished. It's just not fair. And as a result of it, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll... Okay, I'm sorry.
I have a question also. Mr. Fontenot, on overlooking this open bankruptcy audit that we have, I believe a statement was made that the bankruptcy has been settled as far as Energy 21. However, on here it shows that we're still owed money. Do you know if we ever collected that? $79,000. 907. I don't know if that's ever been collected since it's been settled.
This is Ryan with the Attorney General's office. I can speak to that. On Energy 21, it's my recollection that, as with several of the other bankruptcies, we had, because they retained their interests in the state leases through the bankruptcy, they're obligated to pay on those things. So it's probably at this point, and I'm not going to speak for Rachel, but at this point it's probably just a matter of disputing the substance of those exceptions now. But in terms of the bankruptcy, because they assumed the leases, there's no they don't have an out through the bankruptcy for that.
Thank you for that.
This is actually a penalty. They paid all the audit exceptions. This is the penalty that's outstanding on the audit. I don't remember which month. I think it was 2 months ago. I brought a penalty waiver request before the board for this specific penalty, and the board decided to not to waive anything. So the only amount outstanding is the penalty. We did receive word from Energy 21 that they intended to add this to the unsecured claims in the bankruptcy.
You're expecting that money, right? Is that correct? That money should be coming in?
Do you remember this?
Not necessarily.
Well, I'm thinking about whether they can unilaterally reclassify that as unsecured claims when they have assumed the leases. Why don't we talk about that after? That's something we're going to have to think about.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In this respect, we either approve it or deny it. Then whether they pay or not is further on down the road.
Not only that, it adds fuel to the fire that they take in this position. I mean, that's crazy. We need to send a message to those folks that take advantage of our natural resources, that we're going to hold them to the contract which they agreed to, period. So I'll make a motion for previous question on this issue, unless anyone else wants
to speak. Yeah,
I have one question.
Okay, I'll withdraw that.
Okay.
Ms. Michelle Dugan.
Two questions. First, what has been done before on this type of situation? And second, whatever we do today is going to set a precedent for the future, correct?
Could. Just depends what we do next time, I guess. You know, but it should, you know.
If we follow our protocol says waive zero.
Right.
And we've been over backwards trying to find ways to waive some of the penalties. So the president set by protocol. Protocol is to waive nothing.
Okay.
If we decide to waive something, we set a new protocol.
Right.
Thank you.
Particularly if you can continually do it. No. I believe Mr. Hollinshead had a question.
Sure. Mr. Fontenot, as part of this release, the state requested for Energy 21 to submit a plan of abandonment and a schedule and a list of flow lines and equipment that was associated with this lease, and I believe that's part of their contract. Did we receive that as part of this cancellation?
To my knowledge, no, sir. Jason, would you know if they... I'm sorry? There wasn't a plan submitted, but we didn't ask them for one.
Okay. Yeah, I believe we asked for one on January the 5th. So can anybody tell me, do we expect to get this information, or are we going to follow up?
Well, we'll be glad to follow up on that, yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Two things. First of all, I find it very difficult to believe that a company that's in this business does not keep track of their leases and dates and so forth. Second, does anybody know how much money, if any, was discharged in their bankruptcy proceeding?
I don't know that off the top of my head. You mean the entire amount of debt discharged for the whole company?
No, as it relates to royalties.
Well, for us, because they assumed their leases, there wouldn't have been any discharge of principal for sure.
They paid all of the exceptions and the interest on the audit.
So there was nothing discharged to the state of Louisiana?
Correct.
In their bankruptcy?
Not for the audit and not for any of their regular royalty payments.
Okay. Thank you.
But this, we still owe the penalty.
We are still owed the penalty.
Of $70,000.
Yes.
And now, from the discussion, they're trying to reclassify that as an unsecured.
Correct.
An unsecured position. And what we understand is that there may be difficulty in trying to reclassify it. Yeah, hopefully that's the case.
That's just something we're going to have to look into, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. But none of that has anything to do with the current issue.
Absolutely.
For y'all. And I understand why you're going there and that it's all related in a global sense, but that one particular thing is something I can't answer today.
All right.
Last comment. We have, maybe this is for Rachel, in the past, number of years, has the state waived penalties for Energy 21?
I would have to go back and check, but I feel confident that there have been waivers on penalties for that company.
Okay, thank you.
All right. There's no further discussion or public comment. We have a motion and a second on the floor, so all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All signify by saying nay. Motion carries. They're denied.
Item number two is a staff report to the State Mineral and Energy Board in reference to Mr. J. Todd Hollingshead's request at the September 13, 2017 board meeting for staff to research possible royalty relief measures for option and shut-in wells.
Thank you. Blake Canfield, Executive Counsel, DNR. I've been asked to provide a summary of the staff's study on ways to implement a possible royalty incentive program for orphan and inactive wells, as was requested by the board last month. I first need to stress that what I'm providing is just that. It's a summary of the study that's occurred so far. A significant amount of additional work is needed to come up with a plan that's ready to implement. But that being said, however, I wanted to go through, first of all, Act 421 of last legislative session, as this was discussed at the board meeting last month. Just to give you some background, Act 421 created a reduced severance tax rate on production from formerly orphaned and inactive wells when subsequent production comes from within 100 feet above or below a previously productive interval. Act 421 can and apply to any and all wells that qualify and meet the requirements, but operators are first required to file an application with the Office of Conservation and then ultimately to request the reduced rate from the Department of Revenue, which is on both a go-forward and can be on a reimbursement basis. In order to qualify as an orphan well under Act 421, the well has to have been designated by the Commissioner of Conservation as being orphaned and have retained that designation for longer than 5 years. In order to qualify as an inactive well under the same act, a well has to have been inactive for 2 or more years or have less than 30 days of production during the previous 2 years. In order to qualify for the reduced severance tax rate under the act, it specifically says that production from either the orphan or inactive well must be produced from the same perforated producing interval or from 100 feet above and 100 feet below the perforated producing interval for lease wells, or has to be produced from within the correlative defined interval for unitized reservoirs that the well produced from prior to becoming either orphaned or inactive. For the qualified production that comes from a previously orphaned well, Act 421 would then provide a reduced rate of 25% of whatever the standard severance tax rate was, and it provides that rate for a period of 10 years. For inactive wells, however, the reduced rate is to 50% of whatever the otherwise imposed severance tax rate is, again, for a period of 10 years.
May I ask you a question? Inactive and shut-in, that's the same?
Not necessarily, because in the Act, a well can be shut in for a short period of time. Inactive, my understanding, is an actual designation that's made within the conservation records. And also the way that it's defined in this Act, it would go beyond what's just qualified as being inactive with conservation to also include wells that did not produce or produce for 30 days or less over a two-year period. So that's slightly different than shut-in.
Their definition of shut-in in the Act?
I don't believe there was one in the Act. I think they just kind of piggybacked on the designation that's in conservation already for inactives, and then they talked about productive and non-productive. Once we were able to take a look at Act 421, we started to consider whether or not that would be a model for us to approach with a royalty incentive program. And basically, we started off by trying to determine how many of these wells that would fall under Act 421 have state interest in them. But due to the specific reasons of these aspects of these definitions, one of them being this distinction between an inactive, a shut-in, and a well that produced or didn't produce within this 30 or more than 30 days within the two-year time period, it became very difficult to actually quantify an exact number that would fall under Act 421. So we then took the approach of trying to get something close, and that's when we looked at the shut-in wells that were on either state property or had a definite state interest, as well as those that have been declared orphan that were on state property or had a definite state interest. And, searching the Sunrise records, we're able to determine that there's 218 orphaned wells with definite state interest as of last month, and there are 4,500 inactive wells, or shut-in wells, I'm sorry, with definite state interest. I may actually have had that backwards. Is that inactive? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, inactive. I apologize. So looking at the status that it had with conservation, 4,500 inactive wells with definite state interest. The next step was to consider what the goals of the royalty incentive program should be, based on discussions that occurred at the board, as well as the specific requests that were made. We looked at making sure the royalty program would actually have a real impact on production decisions associated with wells that have state interest. We looked at, is there a possibility to have a flexible enough program that can respond to changes that affect production decisions, such as oil or gas prices, costs, things that will ultimately increase production. We also wanted to look at a program that would be capable of, we could be capable of implementing without any significant changes to the current OMR resources, both staff, technical. We do receive reports in certain ways, so we're trying to find what way works best that would be the most readily to implement. We also wanted to look for an option that would be achievable under the current legal authority, wouldn't require some sort of statutory change. And finally, we're looking for a program that would allow for OMR staff to provide recommendations to the board, which actually could be backed up by real information and would not be just a one-size-fits-all generalization. So considering these objectives, staff believes that a royalty incentive program allowing for a more focused and flexible approach than was provided in Act 421 of last session would have a better chance of incentivizing new production from currently orphaned or inactive wells with state interests. Some of these reasons include that reduced royalties can only incentivize production in situations where the wells are either on large state-owned tracts or within a unit that has a large state interest. Obviously, if the state interest is small enough, a reduction in the royalty is not actually going to have that big of an impact in real dollars and cents for the producer. Likewise, operators can only be directly incentivized through a reduced royalty if they are a lessee or operator under contract with the state or otherwise have some obligation to pay the state the royalty. We wouldn't be able to go against a operator for, or we wouldn't be able to help an operator with a reduced royalty rate if we have unleased acreage, as there is no royalty occurring there. We wouldn't be able to affect someone who is an operator with no ties directly to the state if, to them, they really don't care how much the state gets or how much the lessee of the state gets. So again, we'd have to look at and consider those things when approaching this. Also, the royalty rates are statutorily required to be at least 1/8, and based on additional study by staff, again, looking through Sunrise, they were able to determine that nearly 77% of all the shut-in wells that have a definite state interest are already covered by leases with that minimum royalty amount. So that gives you an idea that we are talking about a limited area that we have the ability to actually incentivize. Some formerly productive formations also have reached the end of their productive lives, making the incentivization through a lower royalty rate impossible. This is especially true if we looked at Act 421, you know, if we try to use that as a model, because Act 421 limits the reduced tax rate to the same formations that previous production came from. So if we're looking to try to get more production and a reservoir, you know, essentially is at the end of this productive life, reducing the royalty rate is not going to incentivize production from that reservoir, that formation. You know, finally, another example of some of the issues we looked into is that a program that would be too broad or broad as Act 421 may actually unintentionally reduce the state's ability to enforce its current requirements regarding production and paying quantities that are existing, you know, ongoing leases. So we need to make sure that we're not being inconsistent with the one hand punishing somebody for an activity that we're subsequently going to be trying to induce them to undertake. So adding to the reasons that we set forth, you know, here, the fact that a program similar to Act 421, a program that would be across the board, would actually create a much greater workload than if we're able to focus in on those specific areas where we think we'd have the best effect. So for all of these reasons, you know, we believe that the best proposal, the best option to work towards is using the existing operating agreement authority that the staff and the board have. And in so doing, we can create a case-specific production sharing arrangement that can act to incentivize new production. This proposal does have several benefits. It requires no statutory change, as I just mentioned. It requires approval of a board upon recommendation of the staff. Again, if it's site-specific, we can give you more realistic information. It allows for the incentive program to focus on those wells that are currently not profitable and basically figure out which ones we can affect production decisions on. It allows the creation for specific incentive plans for specific operational areas. There may be, you know, just a multitude of different considerations that are affecting specific state acreage that don't exist elsewhere. And the reduced rate can be conditioned on things such as oil or gas price or terms. There's a lot of flexibility in how we set this up. And, you know, it also avoids many of the problems we talked about or I mentioned a little bit earlier. So this is a very 30,000-foot level view of kind of where we're at right now in this study. As I said, the staff is going to have to continue working towards a final recommendation that's ready for implementation. We, you know, plan to try to work on that as quickly as possible and report back our results. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Mr. Hollins?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
And the wells that you say may be affected are 218 off and 4,500 inactive, for a total of 4,718 approximately. But 70% of that, you said, is covered in other.
So 77% of the 4,500, so not the total, but the, you know, because the orphan wells in almost every instance aren't, and I think in every instance, are not under an active lease. But for the 4,500 inactive wells that are under a lease with the state. 77% of them are already at the minimum royalty amount.
Okay, I got that. So where I'm going with this is this. There could be significant impact, because if you take that percentage, we're talking about 1,200, maybe 1,500 or so wells that could be impacted by this, by such a program.
Correct. And you know, a lot of the things that we still have to work on are getting to specifics, but that's definitely the intent, is to try to affect.
That's not insignificant, though.
No.
That's a lot.
Yes.
Anyone else? Thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
All right. Item three is an update on the lease form compilation process. Is that you?
Yeah. So where we're at right now, we've just kind of finished up a deep rice provision, which some of you may be happy to hear. We still have to meet on it with the staff. I'm working on articles 4 or 5 right now, and we'll meet on those quickly. And over the next month, I want to get through Article 8 and have meetings on those in the next month, and then tackle Article 9 with the rest of the year, honestly. And that's the royalty provision. We've got a lot of work to do on that. There's a lot of ideas that we have to consider, and it's one of the most important aspects of it. And after that, Article 9, it's kind of downhill from there. You know, there's some important provisions that we have to consider. But to me, once we get through that, and having gotten through Article 3 already, those are the two most important provisions that affect us directly the most in these mineral leases. So that's where we're at.
All right. Any questions? Great. Thank you. Now I guess we're on to the executive
docket.
Docket. I'm sorry. Docket review.
Under Category A state agency leases, we had no items to report. Category B, state lease transfers, we're requesting that you approve items 1 through 12. Under Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items to be placed on the report. And Category D, advertised proposals, the same, no items to appear.
All right. Do you have any questions or discussion? We have a motion to accept those recommendations by staff. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Now we'll go over the executive session items.
Item 6A is a discussion regarding the matter entitled Callon Petroleum Operating Company versus the State of Louisiana et al., docket number C-136424-26JDC, Parish of Bossier, State of Louisiana. 6B is a status update regarding settlement of outstanding audit issues with Chevron Texaco, Texaco E&P Inc., and Unical. 6C is a discussion regarding a settlement offer received from Hunt Oil Company regarding state claimed unleased acreage number B1098, which is situated in Section 10, Township 12 North, Range 10 East. Arkla, Louisiana Resources number 2 well in the Lake Merrydale Field, Tensaw Parish, Louisiana. And the final item, 6D, is a discussion and a request for authority regarding termination of state lease numbers 17621, 17623, 17624, 17762, 17763, 17764, 17765, and 17766, pooled into a single voluntary unit in the main pass, Block 1516, Voluntary Unit Agreement, LU Code 305485, operated by Lobo Operating, Inc., State Mineral Energy Board, Docket 05-58, Main Pass, Block 16, Field in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, Lobo Oil and Gas, LLC, is the state's lessee for all 8 state leases.
Great. Thank you. Do I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss these items, A through the D?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Michelle Dugas. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We'll be in executive session. We'll be back shortly. All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session. Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Secretary Harris. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We're back in regular session. Brian, are you going to handle all of these?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll handle the first two. Item number one is the Callon Petroleum matter. In that case, we're just looking for authority to negotiate and a couple of other particulars discussed in executive session. So that's all I've got on that one. And need a motion if y'all are inclined to give me that authority.
I'll make a motion granting authority to negotiate.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. LeBlanc. All in, any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item D.
And on that one, unless Jim says otherwise, I believe that was just information only. Okay. So nothing needed right out of that one.
C.
C is requesting authority to accept the settlement offer as presented in executive session.
All right. Do I have a motion to accept?
Make a motion to accept.
Did that? Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
And the final item, D, is the authority to send a letter of termination in the demand for release, as also discussed in executive session.
We have a motion to accept staff's recommendation for authority. Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Secretary Harris. Any public comment? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. All right. Well, any announcements? Or new business? What announcements? None. We don't have any announcements today. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hollinshead. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay, we are adjourned. We'll see you next month, hopefully with something of more substance.